This is The Takeaway with Tanzina Vega.
Wow, your wrists are tiny.
Oh,
you actually have a really small frame. There is a small person inside of you dying to get out.
Oh, well, I hope that small person's okay in there.
I know, it can seem impossible, but you can do this. You weren't meant to carry around all this extra weight.
Wow, very cool.
That is a clip from Shrill, a new show on Hulu based on a memoir by Lindy West. It's about a young woman played by comedian Adie Bryant who decides to change her life without changing her body. The show has been lauded by some media critics and feminists as a turning point in how fat women are portrayed in pop culture. And my guest today, Samita Mukhopadhyay, is the executive editor of Teen Vogue and the author of an op-ed that calls the new series, quote, a revolution for fat representation. Samita, welcome to The Takeaway again.
Great to see you, Tanzina.
I almost couldn't hold in the laugh from that clip because it was all just too much. So let's start with what your take on this is. It's a revolution for fat representation. Why?
One of the things that's really exciting about what Shrill is doing isn't as much what they are saying, it's what they're not saying by having a fat character, right? This character is about, you know, her own life, her day-to-day, dealing with guys that are toxic. She's trying to get ahead at work. She also happens to be fat. And I think the kind of portrayal of the internal life of a fat woman that's not dedicated to losing weight, that's not dedicated to self-hate, or she's not a sidekick, right? She's the main character. She's not the butt of jokes. And I think that that is a turning point in terms of, it's a very subtle shift, right? It's a very subtle shift to say, hey, what else is this woman about other than just trying to, as this trainer is obnoxiously trying to tell her, release the small person inside of her.
Also, like, what I love is that she's punching back, right? There are these moments, especially in that interaction, where I think she's kind of like, wait, what? But then she punches back really hard in a way that I wasn't expecting, to be honest, in all areas of her life, in her love life, at her job. And I found that revolutionary in and of itself, just as a woman.
Completely agree. And I think, you know, Lindy West's work really has been about that transformation. It's about, you know, what happens when you have experienced a form of discrimination all throughout your life, in this case, fat phobia. What internal processes do you have because of that? You internalize that anger. And I believe Shrill is really the output of that, of kind of processing that anger and having it inform your behavior and saying, no, I've had it. My voice is important. I have something to say. As a result, she's advocating for herself in the workplace, right? In ways that are, you know, extremely relatable outside of her body, outside of her kind of lived experience. I similarly in her love life, right? Who among us could not relate to that character?
Who, by the way, also has a very evolved storyline, I thought, for the lame boyfriend or whatever he is. I was kind of intrigued by the fact that they gave him a more realistic storyline, right? Rather than, yes, you're great, or no, you're a jerk.
Agreed. Yeah. And the actor is fantastic. I mean, he's great. And, you know, I do think that's very relatable to a lot of women in their 20s and 30s, these guys that kind of don't really have it together. They want to show up. They're really nice, but they can't really get the details right. As simple as taking you out to dinner or texting you back on time or showing up to the party you invited them to.
But they can do acid with your dog. But now, there is a question. I want to bring up the word fat, because I feel like when I was a kid, it felt like a pejorative. And now there's a scene here where she actually has this moment where she's like, this is what I am. I'm fat. And I think for so many women, whether we're fat or not, whatever our thing is in the world, to be able to own that and say it. And there was just a sense of release and relief when she said that. I mean, what do we take for the word fat? Like, its evolution. Where are we today with that?
To be honest, I appreciate that optimism. I actually think fat still is a bit of a dirty word. And I think the majority of, especially women, would really shy away from identifying as it, or when most people describe someone as fat, it's not in a positive light, right? And we can see that anywhere from the medical system to comedy to, you know, all these different spaces where we talk about bodies and we talk about weight. Fat ultimately is not something that I think people celebrate as much as they could. I do think there's a growing movement, right? And I think that Shrill is in many ways the peak of that movement of women that have said, no, I am fat. And that is, you know, almost neutralizing the term. It is a descriptor. the same way that I'm a woman of color, the same way that my class background, the same way that I describe my gender, fat is a descriptor. And there is also this opportunity to say, and that's okay.
And the amazing thing is she looks amazing in this series as Teen Vogue executive editor. That has to matter. The fact that she is dressed impeccably and beautifully throughout, you want to wear what she's wearing. And she's also desired, which is something that I haven't seen often in film or any media, particularly for fat women. Like this desire, the sex scenes, this all of it just felt so refreshing.
Absolutely. Her outfits and kind of styling were fantastic. It is worth noting that she wasn't able to wear anything off the rack. Designers were not able to give her everything she wore was a custom look. So that does kind of call into question this idea of this effortlessness. It wasn't effortless, right? She wasn't able to just go into a store and buy, especially that sequin dress that she wears to that party
that
everybody must have. All these looks were custom made. So as much as we are kind of embracing this idea of fat and we want to centralize it, ultimately the industry has not caught up. And by that, I mean culture, I mean fashion. Most forms of representation haven't kind of caught up to this.
I mean, we've heard designers say that they won't dress people over a certain size. And that size is what, like an 8 or some like monstrosity like that? Like, where is the industry headed? I mean, where is fashion when it comes to fat women?
It's not where it needs to be. Ultimately, there are designers. I don't want to downplay the designers that really are kind of embracing this moment. They recognize that there is an opportunity, first of all, and there's a business case here. Fat women are the majority of women, right? The majority of women are above a size 16. And so there is a huge economic opportunity and possibility for kind of serving these audiences and serving this particular customer. Ultimately, though, until we disassociate fat as being disgusting and fat as being anti-fashion or against what we consider beautiful, the industry isn't going to shift, right? It has to both come from a cultural shift, but it also has to be, we have to see leaders that say, no, this is beautiful as well.
And what about fat when it comes to different communities? Because this is seen through the lens of a white woman. We know that in communities of color, weight can often mean different things. It can be celebrated in different ways. So how do we sort of look at the cultural factors involved and how we deal with fatness?
Absolutely. There are different standards based on class and geography, right? What's considered fat in New York is different than what's considered fat in Chicago. I think those are all relative to specific areas. But ultimately, the bigger what we kind of look up to, what we aspire to be ultimately is thin, right? It is white. And I think that if you're living within the kind of American cultural context, no matter what your race is, no matter what your kind of ethnic background might be or where you live or what your kind of class background is, you're still pummeled with these images of what beauty looks like. And it is very hard. And I will say this as a woman of color and majority of my friends who have kind of grappled with this, they are still impacted by those images. And so, yes, there are, I think, moments and spaces where it is acceptable to have a larger body, right? Say in hip hop culture, right? Where you are constantly kind of elevating, but that's still a form of objectification. It's still a form of objectification, and it's still not defined by women kind of taking ownership of their own beauty and their own body. And ultimately, we are impacted by these images.
Sumitha Mukhopadhyay is the executive editor of Teen Vogue. Great to talk to you again.
You as well.
That's it for us today. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway.
Hey, everyone. If you like what you hear, if you have tips for stories, or if you just want to connect with us, tweet us at The Takeaway or give us a call at 8778-MY-TAKE.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.